Marco Werman, this is The World. A U.S. soldier was killed in eastern Afghanistan today. An Afghan policeman shot him. It's getting increasingly hard for U.S. forces in Afghanistan to tell friend from foe, and as violence goes up, so do the casualties. The American Combat Support Hospital in Khost, Afghanistan, sees many of those casualties firsthand. The World's Quill Lawrence spent a week with the doctors and nurses who work in the emergency room there.
The hospital at Camp Salerno in eastern Afghanistan serves all of the U.S. military bases in the region. It also treats local patients referred from Afghan hospitals. The U.S. Army and Air Force caregivers who work here rotate through in shifts, and many are recent arrivals. Major Scott Pointer got here just about a month ago.
First day, we had a couple patients come in, and then that evening we had five. So that was a good way to get your feet wet, unfortunately, for the people that got injured, to give me that practice. But it was nice getting the experience and hit the ground running. The first one was an IED, but the one that was after a couple of days of being here was the children. While they were swimming, they found something they didn't know what it was, and were playing with it, and it blew up. So we got five of the kids. One, unfortunately, didn't make it. Yeah, it hits you. Hits you pretty close, especially when you have kids at home, and just knowing how fortunate we have it at home that we don't have to warn our kids not to play with UXOs or mines.
Others at the hospital have been here before. Eric Suescon is a general surgeon who served in this hospital 2 summers ago. Today, the facility looks and feels like a first-world hospital. 2 years ago, Suescon says it was something like the TV show MASH.
Last year we were intense and it was very crowded and it was much, much, much different situation. It was a lot dirtier. When it rained, it would leak. When it was very hot and dusty outside, it was dusty and hot inside. I love this new hospital. It's just so much easier to work here. We had a very, very robust humanitarian clinic last time. It was actually extremely rewarding. This time that's had to have been, of course, curtailed pretty significantly because the pace of things has gone up so severely. I think, comparatively speaking, the numbers of trauma patients, whether it be for suicide bombers, firefights, et cetera, we were seeing last year versus this year, it's increased dramatically.
Okay, you've got an abrasion on the right hip.
Another surgeon here is Deirdre Byrne. In her off time, she works as a Catholic missionary in Africa and Haiti. She's used to being out among the population more, but that's not possible in Afghanistan.
Here, it's too dangerous to go out for us. I wish I could go to the local hospitals and help the doctors there, you know, hop on the ambulance and go out, but everything in time. I pray that we will see peace here because the Afghan people are innocent victims of this terrorist activity, and to show them the compassion that Americans have for people around the world.
The hospital commander is Colonel Cynthia O'Connell. She says the crew is happiest when the hospital is busy.
Everybody's happy to be doing their work that they were trained to do. It's kind of macabre. You know, we don't like trauma, but we do because we get to do the job that we're trained to do, you know. And we find a way to make jokes about it and, you know, keep the levity up.
Scott Pointer, who is a nurse anesthetist, takes that message to heart. For example, he sometimes wears a grass skirt to surgery.
I was a nurse for several years and then decided to go on to school and pass gas for a living so that you don't always have to talk to your patient. You can if you want to, but if they talk too much, you can put a tube down them and not have to listen to them. Big majority of us are do have smart mouths and joke around. I know the people that I work with, it's you never know what's going to come out of somebody's mouth there or what they're going to do to you. I don't know if it's a coping mechanism or if it's just the kind of people that this career field brings, but I have seen a larger than normal population of wise asses.
What usually happens is they land and they'll taxi up there, but if it's a bad case, they'll land right at the right on the pad. They got no time to taxi.
Major Brian Friedland arrived here only at the end of September. His first day was tough. A helicopter arrived with two American soldiers, only one of them still alive.
The first thing out of his mouth is, "Where's my buddy, the KIA?" So we had to calm him down, and because it'll affect his treatment, he needs to concentrate on himself. There's nothing that could be done for the other individual, unfortunately.
Colonel O'Connell also remembers that soldier.
He didn't know at the time that his friend had passed. Then he was taken to the ward to recover. And then after he came out of recovery, then he was told. Because he kept asking. He kept asking. He knew that his friend was on that bird with him. You do your best to say, you know, we're taking care of you right now. You need to focus on yourself. And, you know, we're taking care of your friend.
That day, many of the crew also experienced another first. One of the casualties from the ambush and firefight was from the other side. Dr. Kerry Jebson is an orthopedic surgeon.
One of the enemy combatants came in, and we don't treat them any different in terms of providing care. We do have to have some special precautions and have some guards and things like that around these patients. But I think once they make it to our trauma room, they're basically treated the same as any other. And I think that speaks to the professionalism of the people here. But I know that in your mind, you're always, that's still a question, especially if it has brought a lot of harm to some of our soldiers as well. It's a difficult situation, but I think the professional ethic makes that not as difficult, I think, as you would otherwise think.
What kind of weapon was he shot with?
AK-47?
Yeah. How far away do you know?
Just a meter away.
A meter away?
Yeah.
Jebson is in the middle of another surgery. He's operating on an Afghan soldier. A bullet left only a small hole in the patient's leg, but it carved a destructive path inside the man's calf. Many of the staff here have been patching up war wounds for years, like nurse anesthetist Robert Monson.
My problem is, if I was a car, you'd have to deduct for high mileage. This is my fourth deployment. I was in the Gulf War, and then I was supposed to come over here in 2007, but they switched me to a forward surgical team, and so I was going to do a 90-day rotation on that, and they ended up asking me to be the commander, so it's hard to tell your wife, hey, that 90 days just turned into 15 months. I'll have spent probably 22 the last 25 months in combat.
Monson carefully watches the patient's heart rate as he speaks.
This is probably my last volunteer deployment. I joined in April of 1969. I didn't go to Vietnam. That's probably one of the reasons I've stayed in so long, just to pay back for those guys that didn't come back in my generation. So, you know, if we can bring back one boy that wouldn't have made it, then now it's my time's well spent. So.
And that sentiment seems to be shared by all of the nurses and doctors here. For The World, I'm Quill Lawrence, Camp Salerno, Eastern Afghanistan.